something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara, and we're delighted to have a paediatric dentist on the line today, Rosemary Daly. Good morning, how are you?
I'm great, thank you very much.
So this is a very specialised area, and I know your website is rosemarydalydentistryforchildren.ie. There are so many questions that I'm sure parents have when it comes to dentistry for their children, because it's very different to adults, first of all, isn't it?
It is, yes. We're dealing with an age-related specialty, and children are not like little adults. They have very specific behavioural needs, dental developmental needs, and a range of different conditions, which can be quite different in presentation to the types of issues that you'll see in an adult.
And I know, like, adults have a fear of the dentist as well, but I'm sure when it's a child, it's a little bit scarier for them when they're going in to see you.
Well, it's important to recognise that, you know, children come to the dentist with all sorts of different types of dental needs and behavioural needs. And they come at different stages of their development. So anything that's new, obviously, for children is something where fear of the unknown can be an issue. Children who attend may have heard scary stories from adults that they know, or may have heard scary stories from other children, or may have a history of pain already. So there's lots of different reasons why a child might be nervous coming to the dentist.
Yeah. So first of all, I guess, what age should your child be going for the very first visit to the dentist by?
The rule of thumb is that children should attend by age 12 months. We would always recommend that a child has their first dental visit as soon as the first tooth appears. So the reason for that, I suppose, that a paediatric dentist or a family dentist can provide anticipatory guidance. So we would look at things like hygiene, fluoride use, age-appropriate fluoride use, the types of habits which can affect infants, feeding habits and sucking habits. So when we're looking at feeding habits, we're talking about issues which can predispose children to aggressive dental disease, such as ad lib feeding at night. We're also looking for signs of dental disease in the mouth, which most people are surprised can occur under the age of 3. We're looking for dental developmental issues, and also trying to acclimatise children to the dental environment and ensure that they have a dental home, so that, as can very commonly happen, children may have an injury, for instance. You don't really want to find yourself scrambling around for a dental home just as soon as the injury happens.
Yeah,
it's important that there's an established pathway already there.
Yeah, and I guess to get them used as well to the dentist chair when they're maybe not in pain, so that they know that, you know, the next time they're there, if there is something like that, that they're going to be okay.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Can I ask you about something I've noticed in my own daughter, who's just turned 4, grinding her teeth at night? What is that about? Do a lot of children do that?
Yes, it's really common. The majority of children will go through a phase of grinding at one stage or another. Parents do get quite concerned about it. It's not a nice sound. So if you hear a child grinding very loudly, or if you've ever heard it, it's not nice. So children go through phases of doing it. You might find that it will be cyclical. So sometimes it will be intense, and then it, you know, kind of dissipates a little bit. So it is important that any child who's grinding, every child should be going to a dentist for regular checkups anyway. You know, it's not just because they're grinding that they should attend a dentist. If there are signs of wear which are resulting from the grinding, that's something that would be picked up on a routine examination. In addition to that, it is worth being mindful that there are certain triggers for grinding. So if a child has dental pain, sometimes you'll find that that might exacerbate it. Sometimes when teeth are getting loose and when there's new teeth erupting and other teeth falling out, you might find that that might trigger it a little bit. Oftentimes it's worthwhile considering if a child might be a little bit more wound up or anxious. So it's a good practice anyway to make sure that children have a nice wind down practice before they go to bed. As part of good sleep hygiene, this would be a good idea anyway, just to make sure that they don't have too much screen time, you know, within a couple of hours before bed, making sure that they're relaxed, maybe taking a bath, reading a story. And, you know, if children are a little bit concerned about something that's been going on, maybe at school or with peers, or you know, different little things, just to make sure that they have somebody to talk to about it, so as to help them resolve any little issues that might be on their mind.
Okay.
And that would just be kind of, you know, good practice anyway, but certainly if they're going through a bad phase of grinding, that those things would be worthwhile ticking off.
Yeah. Does the grinding damage the teeth?
Sometimes it can, but in the majority of cases it doesn't.
What do you think? I mean, as a dentist, I'm sure you're telling people just kind of ditch the sweets. But what would be an acceptable amount of sweets for a child to have and for not to affect their teeth, would you say, Rosemary?
We all need to be mindful of just how frequently children are consuming fermentable carbohydrates. So I think it's probably important to make a distinction between what we're talking about when we look at foods which might potentially cause damage to teeth. It's not just sweets. I would certainly say that within my practice, and I work in private practice, an awful lot of the families that come to see me are incredibly conscientious. And it's not that these children are given lots of sweets. So there can be a lot of hidden sugars in diets, and particularly in healthy diets. So I think it's probably more useful to consider fermentable carbohydrates rather than just kind of thinking of sweets and looking at safe diets rather than, you know, just specifically bad foods. So sometimes it can be about eating patterns. It's about eating frequency and the frequency of exposure to fermentable carbohydrates and the quality of the food as well. That, you know, how sticky or retentive it is. I think that structured dietary counselling from a professional such as, you know, a dentist is important to look at. It may not be just quite as simple as saying it's about, you know, sweets or not. Typically speaking, if children eat about 5 times a day, so that kind of gives you your breakfast, dinner, tea, and then the opportunity for 2 healthy snacks in between, that would tend to be a safe number of times for a child to eat during the day. Then usually speaking, you know, try and limit sweet things and confectionery that might be, you know, biscuits and sweet drinks and chocolate ice cream, that sort of stuff, to 2, maximum 3 times a week. But overall, I think it's important to look at the diet, you know, for children who have a dental home. I think, you know, looking at diet and doing a dietary analysis is a very important part of how anticipatory guidance would be structured for children.
Yeah. There's so many products, isn't there, directed at children, like, you know, these drinks and everything, and they put them in lovely little coloured bottles and everything, and they're just not good. Water is the best thing to be drinking, really, isn't it?
Milk and water are safe drinks for teeth, with the exception of milk during the night, which wouldn't be good unless the teeth are being brushed afterwards.
Yeah. I'd say there's a lot of people who send the kids to sleep with a bottle of milk or a beaker of milk, so not the thing to do. What are your views then when it comes to the manual toothbrushes or the electric ones for children? Is one better than the other?
Honestly, so long as the teeth are being brushed regularly with a fluoridated toothpaste, it doesn't really matter so much. Parents don't need to go to the expense of buying electric toothbrushes. I think what's important is that parents are taught how to brush children's teeth and that they're shown how to check for plaque on the teeth as well. That's something that we routinely do with parents here at this practice. It's not really about whether it's electric or manual. It's whether or not parents have a technique that they feel comfortable with, that they've been shown how to do the brushing, and they've also been shown how to check for plaque on the teeth as well. And that would all bring us back to kind of where we need professional guidance on these things, particularly for small children.
What would be the main thing that you would be seeing children for? Is there one thing in particular that you'd see most days in the practice?
Yes, dental decay. It's the most common chronic disease of childhood. Parents are always, always surprised that it happens in children as young as it does. It's not surprising that it happens so frequently because so many Irish children don't get to see a dentist on time. And the problem is that they present to the dentist very late and often when they've already developed significant dental disease, sepsis and pain. So if we can maybe make one really important point during the interview is to say that children should establish a dental home by the age of 12 months to prevent dental decay, which is what I spend all of my time treating at the practice. So obviously we see other things as well. We see developmental defects of teeth. We see a lot of trauma here as well. We see patients who are just extremely anxious. But dental decay is by far the most common thing that we see here.
Are a lot of children needing to get fillings at a very young age?
Absolutely. Massive amount.
Yeah. I do remember somebody saying to me, I think their child was maybe 7 or 8 at the time and needed fillings. And the guilt that the parent felt because they thought, oh God, that's my fault.
Parents struggle with that all the time and it's a very common reaction. I would always urge parents to put things in context, you know, dental disease is a preventable disease and it's also treatable. So the important thing is that we're positive about this and we're proactive and that we educate people to come in on time to prevent this. You know, there's no point in people feeling guilty about these things. But the important thing is that we train and teach and educate parents to bring their children in on time.
Okay. And then how often should they be going to see the dentist?
That really depends on a child's risk of dental disease and what type of condition that they have. But normally speaking, children would need to be seen twice a year.
Yeah, it's just about getting organised, getting the appointments in, getting booked in as well, isn't it? Instead of going, waiting till the point that need to get in and you can't get an appointment. So just kind of planning ahead.
If I might add as well, I think one of the things which I experience with children coming into the practice is that parents may wait for the school appointment, and the school appointments won't necessarily bring children in twice a year. It's a screening service. So it's important that parents don't rely on getting that kind of checkup in the post. They must be proactive about establishing a dental home for children early and following up on dental appointments. It's important not to depend on the school service. It's a screening service. It's great that it exists, but it is not something that parents should rely on. They do need to establish a dental home and then follow up on routine checkups.
Okay, some great info there today. Thank you very much, Rosemary. We'll let you get back. I know you're very, very busy today. And the website is rosemarydailydentistryforchildren.ie. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you
Cheers.
So much. Bye-bye.
This is something for the weekend. It is Ireland's Classic Hits.